Who said you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Hi, I'm Gail Rubenstein, the founder and CEO of Retail Resilient. We teach car dealers all over the country how to sell more cars and make more money using social media platforms. Like I said, who says you can't teach an old dog new tricks? Check us out at RetailResilient.com or send us a message in the chat bar on the Auto Hub Show.
Hi, it's Barry here with White Glove Performance Group. Thanks for joining the show this morning. Always great content on here, and a big shout out to Ian and Jeff for all the hard work that they put into this show. Just wanted to say really proud of being a sponsor of this show. White Glove Performance Group, what do? We have a cloud-based dialing technology called Touchpoint. Touchpoint is used in dealerships all across North America. And the main reason for its popularity is because dealerships can now amp up their team to be calling 50 people an hour. They can leave a personalized voicemail, a custom email, as follow-up, all with a click of a mouse. This really speeds up some of the jobs that happen in the dealership, such as cleaning up your recalls, cleaning up lost souls in service, running a private sale, trying to reach out to your database to buy inventory. Obviously, we know that's the way to source it in today's environment. WhiteGlovePerformanceGroup.com. My direct is 587-899-6600. Love to have a chat with you about some of the things that we can do. But outside of that, I'm going to turn it back over to the host of the show and hope everybody enjoys it.
Everyone, I'm John Latka from Automotive Business Solutions, where we help dealerships build more productive and proactive by appointment sales cultures through our performance management partnership program. So if you want to increase your sales volume by 2 to 3 sales per month per salesperson, call our toll-free number 877-708-8484 for a free consultation.
Thanks for our sponsors. A couple books, Lead Generation for Dummies, Lead Generation by Larry Bilson, and The New Rules of Lead Generation by David T. Scott. Go ahead, Jeff.
Good morning, everybody, or good evening from where I am. The disclaimer for our show, especially now with our LinkedIn Live, is the views and opinions expressed in the Auto Hub show are those of our guest speakers and our guests and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Auto Hub show or Ian Nethercott and Jeff Polo or any other firm associated with us. I can't do my normal joking thing because we have to cover our butt for our friends in LinkedIn. So welcome, everybody. Ian.
So today's show is the Creative Lead Show, and maybe Jeff can start the show with his experience in the Paris market with car dealers.
Well, thank you. Bonjour, and all these stuff, bonsoir, and all these lovely words I've learned out here where I am, and I am in the lovely Paris, which, as the song goes, you know, I love Paris in the springtime, I love Paris in the fall. It's a pretty neat place. However, my goal today was, last week's show, I was in Monaco. I'm not bragging, but it's a trip in a lifetime. And I wanted to broadcast from outside the casino so you could see the Bugattis going by and all that stuff, but they wouldn't let me. So I went to some little bistro just down off the water to look at the boats and what I couldn't afford ever. But today my plan was to go to a car dealership. I got in on Friday, contacted. I actually, because it's a lead show, I generated some leads. And I sent a lead to a BMW dealer here, who's part of an 18-store group in France, the Tesla store here, and a Renault dealer, who's the one I really wanted because I wanted to be sitting on an Alpine because I'm a big fan of the car. So that was Saturday. Today is Monday. I had not one single response. Now, maybe it was because I did it in English. I don't know. Not one response. When I dropped in, they looked at me like I was the holy whatever and kicked me out very quickly. So I'm sitting in my little Airbnb or VRBO or whatever they call it. But I'm happy to be here with everybody. But it's very interesting how I tried to get some answers and not a single. I didn't even get an autoresponder, which I expected from Tesla. Because, of course, we all know Elon Musk is probably controlling every bit of AI in the entire world right now. So, but moving along, let's introduce our guests here and to get some great information on creative leads. First of all, I believe, Sandra, it's your first time joining us. I might be wrong. If I'm wrong, please forgive me. But we have Sander Siegel, who is the head of growth and partnerships for Family One Inc. and a former VP of partnerships and business development at Dealer FX. So he certainly knows about leads. Sander, can take a moment and introduce yourself to our audience.
Sure. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I'm Family One is an online advertising platform. It's actually focused exclusively on families and growing families. And so in the context of automotive vehicle sales and potential leads, you know, kids changes stuff. So it becomes pretty important to understand that life change has happened. And if we can help, if we can help with car dealers, we can help with groups, sort of help have that understanding, we think it'll help with sales. So glad to be here. And I'm really looking forward to the chat with everybody else.
Thanks, Andrew.
Tremendous. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Next, we have to with us Scott Peckstein. I hope I got that right, Scott. Who's Vice President of Business Development at Digital Airstrike, which considering he's in Arizona, I have this picture of a virtual fighter jet going and attacking leads. But Scott, can you take a moment, say hi to our audience and tell us a bit about yourself?
Good morning, everybody. Good evening, Jeff. Scott Peckstein, this is a topic, Jeff, that it's near and dear to my heart. I spent the first 20 years of my automotive career on the lead side. So we're Digital Airstrike now for a little over 2 years, and we are helping connect buyers and sellers. And I'm out in Southern California today, so I know it looks like Arizona, but it's on the state over.
Yeah, okay, so I know you have to be like Arizona, so you need the sand in the backyard. Next, joining us, and after a little bit of a break from the show, is our beloved sponsor, Barry Jordan, who's the Vice President of Sales for White Glove Performance Group, which sounds a little bit like Michael Jackson in Calgary, Alberta. Barry, can you say hi? Tell us a little more about yourself and your business.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Good to be here. I've been pretty much with the show from day one, and there's always good stuff on here. But what we do, we're White Glove Performance Group. What we do is we have a power dialer is what we focus on. And we license that out to dealers. And what that allows dealers to do is make multiple calls, 50 calls an hour, custom emails, custom voicemails being dropped, full accountability, full reporting. We're one of the few softwares that we can drop into a dealership and within 2-3 hours, the dealer's up, dialing, calling, fully accountable. Nobody can flub the system. Nobody can say they made their calls and didn't make their calls. All that stuff that happens in a dealership. And that's the biggest one that we find is we actually can show management, this is what your team did today. This is absolutely what happened. Not what they told you they did, but this is what they did. And that's a really big part of what we're able to do. Good to be part of the show. So, you know, we deal with leads from all different sides. It's going to be a good show and a good conversation on that.
Terrific. Thank you so much. And last but not least, one of our favorite people of our show, Gail Rubenstein from the CEO of Retail Resilient and a whole bunch of other things. And I must say she is a new Reiki master, and which means I have developed a new sense of peace just knowing that she is. But joining us from Philadelphia is Gail. Gail, say hi. And by the way, I have to tell you, her and her team are very responsible for helping us grow our Facebook following and just a tremendous platform, as of course is Barry's. Gail, say hi.
Hi. Is my Zoom cutting in and out?
I think everybody's is. I don't know what's going on here. I know okay. Mine is.
Okay. Anyway, hi.
I do know you have something growing out of your arm there. Okay, that's better.
Oh, yeah. No. Anyway, I'm Gail. I'm the CEO of Retail Resilient. And yes, Jeff is correct. I became a certified Reiki master. I've been studying Japanese healing techniques for the last 5 years for fun outside of the car business. But what we do is we bring buyers and sellers together on social media. We have kind of become as like the go-to people for anything social in terms of Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and how you connect those platforms to your digital retailing tool. So whether you use True Payments, Roadster, CarNow, we've helped a lot of dealers generate a lot of money and a lot of revenue using those social selling strategies. And I am proud to say we have a very unique social selling school for auto dealers, and a lot of people go to our school and they love it. So that is who I am.
Terrific.
Thank you for having me every week.
You're so much more. We appreciate it. Like, we can't begin to tell you, you know, maybe not so much Ian, but me, I just appreciate it tremendously. No, I know Ian does too. Ian, first question, please.
Yeah. What do you think creative leads are? Let's start with Scott on that.
So one dimensionally, my approach to that answer would be any incremental lead, any incremental at bat that you can generate for your business, whether you're a car dealership or power sports or what have you, whether that be via your website, driven it up from your CRM, your DMS, your service drive, social, of course, is a huge opportunity. Even putting business cards on vehicles that are for sale in your community. Hey, we don't only sell cars, we buy cars. That's a lead. So again, I'll end where I started. Any incremental at bat that you give your sales team.
Cool. Sandor? Can't hear you.
Sorry, I thought I was on mute. Sorry. Hopefully that's better.
That's better.
Similar to that, I think it's about, you know, the differentiation of it. You know, I think it's getting out from the usual marketing mumbo jumbo. Folks are pretty smart. It's especially when it comes to automotive, it's not like cars are a product that people don't know they want or don't know they need. It's not like it's some new thing. You know, like when the iPhone came out, nobody knew that they really wanted something like this. I know that's the oldest example in the world, but you know, we were trained about what the solution was and then went down the path. Everybody knows what a vehicle is. Everybody knows what the utility is for. So as you're bombarded with this stuff, a creative lead to me is getting it out from underneath that and then having this sort of, I'll call it an ethical dialogue between the consumer and wherever they are in their thought process and then whomever it is that's trying to help them at their sales cycle. So, you know, to me, it doesn't have to be complicated. It could be literally leads to folks, your friends and family that you know. It could be, you know, it could be what was just said about sort of the flyers that get held out. I'm leaning more towards the old school stuff these days because nobody's doing it anymore. Everybody's using all the advanced technologies to move forward. And, you know, some of the tried and tested old methods of just reaching out, making a phone call, those kinds of things work, especially if whomever's making the call has, you know, voice training and understands what they're doing on the phone.
Great answer. And to parlay into that, maybe we can ask Barry on the creative lead side, being that he works with phones and other.
Well, things. Yeah, and we're a little one-sided. I'm going to tell you that right up front. But I think the biggest thing right now is, you know, there's all these companies. You can go out and you can buy leads. You can do this. You can do that. But really and truthfully, if you've got a database, it's just sitting there waiting to be spoken to, waiting to be engaged and properly, ethically, and all the right words that we're all talking here. But there is going to be people sitting in your database that are prepared to do business with you again because you haven't done anything wrong. You know, and back to Jeff's point about he reached out to these dealers and even a, you know, thanks for considering us. Sorry, we're unable to accommodate you would have been much better than just ignoring the email and ignoring the contact, right? So I think really and truthfully, there's a lot of business and a lot of money sitting in databases or in dealerships right now that is being totally untouched. And we're all running around trying to figure out how we're getting new business. And we're just leaving the existing business in our database. So
fantastic. Gail?
I think it's funny because all three gentlemen, I they're very creative leads and I agree. I think there's the old school modality. And I think what Scott said was very relevant in our industry right now. We need used car inventory and why not go put something on someone's car that says, I'd like to buy your vehicle, call my cell phone. I mean, if I was a used car manager today, that's exactly what I would go do. And then to Barry's point, the untapped database, like you guys, a lot of you know El Patron. El Patron is like a character on social media. And last week he came out with an ad that said, hey, you know, it's El Patron. If you're looking to get out of your lease 2 years early, right? I will cover all of your payments for you. Like, he's going to pay through the roof for inventory. So he's like, I will cover all your payments for you. I will put you in a new vehicle. I will cover your disposition fee. And he's digging into that database that he has. And I think Barry's point is very, very relevant, especially with the new car inventory shortage. Like, our dealers, our clients are suffering right now. They call us every day and they're like, I just don't have new cars. So please advertise service, or, you know, please generate leads for service for me, for parts for me. And it's like a piece of their business they've never really focused a lot on in the past. And now they're like, yeah, that's where I need my lead generation to come from.
Well, so, we actually, that's a great point. I was on a call last night, and Scott, I believe, was on the call. We were talking about the amount of missed opportunities dealers have, not only during the day when they can't actually get to a phone call or get to an email or get to anything, but when they're closed, just the amount of people that are reaching out going, hey, I want to service my car, or, hey, I want to buy a car, or whatever. That opportunity, I think, is something that dealers really need to pay attention to, whether it's using new technology or old technology, and say, hey, like, what am I missing? And I use an example when the pandemic first started, and I talked to car dealers every single day, you'd leave a message or whatever and you'd get nothing. Now you get people calling back like, oh, we missed a call from you, which I've never seen happen before in my life. And the reason is they just need the business.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it, is what are you missing? The numbers that were talked about yesterday on Level Up about the percentage, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Scott, but I think it was something like 40%.
Yeah, 40, 45% of all service calls throughout the industry are missed, and just shy of the majority of the incoming calls and incoming leads come in after hours. And, you know, I just want to add to this, bad times create great habits, right? Great times create poor habits. So to Bo's point, you see some really good habits in the industry right now, which is the silver lining of what we're going through.
Cool. Yeah. Go. And if you're interested in more information from Level Up, reach out to me or Scott. We were on that call. It was pretty interesting. Go ahead, or of course, William Mastro, who started it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Thanks, Ian. It's very funny, you know. I think back a few years, I developed a program. I put a salesperson right in the service drive, and it was like pulling teeth to get them to go in there. And now you go in there, and somebody's coming out saying, I want your car, I want your car. Tell you what, I know you got an SUV, but look at this beautiful economy car. You'd rather have that than your SUV, right? But anyway, you know, the fact is, we keep talking about the fact that overall, dealers do a poor job of handling leads. You know, Scott, you just said 40% of service leads go unhandled. Holy cow. My wife was in life insurance for years, and she'd have killed to have people phone up and say, can I have an opportunity to spend money with you? But so during the pandemic here, they had to deal with a purely non-physical guest with their leads and everything. So why bother with creating more leads if we're not handling the ones we have right now? And Scott, I'll ask you that because you had a good lead in a second ago.
Yeah, I have a bad example that I'll start with, but I think it makes the best of me. So don't think less of me. But I'm all about at-bats, right? There's a lot of people that always focus on close, right? There's the old saying, ABC, always be closing. I think it's backwards. I think we need to focus on opens before we earn the right to talk about close. So with this thought, ABO, maybe I can change the whole mindset since that movie, Gary Glenn Ross made ABC popular. With the mind thought, ABO, you know, here's the example. Even if I'm closing at a lousy 2%, let's keep the math simple. Let's say I'm a dealership. I get 100 leads and I close at 2%. What do I need to do to double my sales? Do I need to work with my sales team, hire a trainer, and get that 2% to 4%? Yes, but the other alternative is I could just double my lead count, right? You double your lead count. Now you're closing 2% on 200 leads, and you've just doubled your sales. So that's the bad example. The right example, the better example would be get that 2% close rate to a 10% close rate and also double your leads. Now you've gone from two sales to, let's see if my math is right, to 20 sales, and you've got 1,000% increase on your close rate. So I see, Jeff, to answer your question directly, I see value in obviously working on your close rate and doubling it and tripling it, but you will hit a glass ceiling there. There's never a glass ceiling on lead count, and that's just the other variable in the equation that get you to more sales.
Yeah, it's a very good point, although I do have to say sometimes when the glass gets full and overflows, sometimes there's just a lot of spill off. But if you get that, I agree, get that up to 10% and increase your lead count.
Yeah, there is a point of diminishing returns, but you can always hire more people, right? That's a good problem to have. Too many good leads. If you're closing at 6, 7, 8%, you could, there's an economy of scales model that you could either have them handle outsource. There's no such thing as too many good leads. There is a such thing as too many leads that waste your time because you'd be lost money.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Thank you very much for that. Barry, what's your thought on this?
Well, I just find it absolutely amazing. And Gail and I have worked together in the past, and some of the things that we've discovered, but I'm blown away by how many leads leak out of a dealership daily, weekly, monthly. There's so much business there that it's comical. One of the questions I always ask a dealership when we're going through the consulting phase is, how many customers a month are aging in your service department where you're no longer able to market to them due to Casal or whatever? Maybe they missed two service appointments or whatever. They don't have a clue. They do not know what that number is ever. The other question I always ask them is, how many people per month are in your database for the first time with no stock number? Meaning they bought the car somewhere else. They're now servicing with you. What is that number? Again, no clue. Like, they know how many people are walking through their store to buy cars. They know their closing ratio. They know their F&I averages. They know some of those numbers, but they do not have a clue of what is actually going on that they could salvage immediately. With very little effort, they could salvage 30, 40, 60 people a month that are falling off their database just because they're going to expire on timeline and now you're not able to market to them. And on the other hand, they don't realize how many people gave them a shot for the first time in their service department. And they should have some attention on these people and say, hey, guys, thanks for servicing with us. How was your first experience? We love you. Come back, please. And we'd love to, you know, have you as part of our permanent customers. So I believe that yes, you can up your count, and that's the easiest way to do it. But I also believe that working internally with the data you already have, you can change your number in a week.
Yeah.
Everything can change in a week. And you start rolling in some of the stuff that Gail does, and you start rolling in some of this other stuff. Now you're escalating at a rate that your team probably won't be able to handle if you're honest with yourself. Because there is just so much business sitting there that, you know, forget the fact we're only talking to 40%, but they're sitting there. They want to do business with you. They've done two or three services with you. They'd like to trade up their car. They'd like to get it polished. They'd like to get it detailed. They'd love to do all the stuff you do in the back and the front and your whole business, but you have to engage them.
Thank you. That's it's true. It's true. And Gail, I'm going to turn to you on this one, but it's very interesting. You brought up a little bit earlier that dealers are reaching out to you saying, I don't have inventory. I need inventory. And I'm connected with somebody on LinkedIn that's with a very large dealer group who I won't mention. Every week they post 150 vehicles are going from Canada, new vehicles, Broncos, Raptors, TRXs are going from Canada to the auctions in the States. And yet dealers here are dying to get those cars. So Gail, tell me something. So why should we create more leads if we're sending our cars south and, you know, when we're mishandling them anyway?
I just laugh when you say that. I don't know, everything we're talking about is bringing me back to when I was a sales manager and I would walk in the dealership and I'd be like, okay, let's see what my sales team does today. And it's like noon and all they're doing is talking about what's for lunch. And I'm like, did anybody make a phone call today? And nobody has called anybody. And I'm like, guys, why do you come to work? Like, what are you doing? We have to sell cars. And that is the same problem I had this morning. So my sales staff meets at 10 a.m. every Monday, right, or 9 a.m. before the Auto Hub show. And we have 10 leads from the weekend that rolled in, like car dealers that need help. And I was like, is anybody going to call these people? Like, nobody has touched these leads. Nobody has done anything with them. And they're like, oh, I think we need to pay for more leads. And I just sit there and I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to be able to leave this problem. Like, it is never going to go away. So the same thing I experienced today as a business owner is the same thing I experienced as a sales manager in a dealership. And what Scott said, like, hey, I could pay for more leads and double my sales. And yeah, we totally can. Do I think that's the right answer? No. I think what Barry said is like, you got to dig in, and it's up to the leader and the manager to dig in. Like, they have to dig in with their staff and be like, okay, here's 20 leads. What did you do with them? Was there any follow-up? Did you call them once and then you were completely done with them? Like, I have salespeople even today that make 2 phone calls and then they're done. And I'm like, no, our buying cycle is like 3 months. So how can you be done after 2 phone calls if the buying cycle is 3 months? So I don't know. I think you don't need to buy more leads. You need to do what Barry said, what Scott said. And you need to actually like dig into what you already have and use them, because they're people that need your help. We're just not approaching those people correctly.
Yeah. No, that's a very good point.
Can I put a qualifier on that or add to that?
Because
in both your cases, so Barry and Gail, I both agree with you 100%. So first of all, you know, one of the earliest things that I used to do is actually this idea of like a loyalty-based, you know, private sale process, digging into the existing data, helping identify an internal lead, identifying where they are in the buy cycle, kind of going for them and then tracking it. It was one of the very first things I did when I joined DealerFX. God, that's a long time ago. It's 13 or 14 years ago. This is obviously before I left. And, you know, it was really, really, really effective. And so to support that, before this show, Family One ran a survey of our members. We've got 1 million members in Canada, their families. We asked them a bunch of simple questions about automotive. We had like 5,500 people answer in 6 hours. But number one, 66% of the respondents said that they were very happy or extremely happy with their ownership experience. If they're very happy or extremely happy and their car is older than a certain age or they're at that stage, why would you not want to reach out to them to cultivate that relationship? Completely agree. Less than 6% of the respondents said that they were unhappy and hated their ownership experience in car. So again, back to, do you need to run after this conquest thing all by itself? No, you don't. I think it's both sides. And so the Gail part of this is, I completely agree. You shouldn't be going out and buying leads, because your staff aren't going to be able to differentiate how to handle that particular lead. And what Scott says, what are you doing? You're paying for money so that your poor closers continue to be poor closers with your existing leads? That doesn't make any sense. If you're going to be acquiring a lead, or if you're going to be looking at your existing data, you should be supplanting it with relevant current information, life status changes, preferential changes, things about where they are in their cycle, the things that would differentiate them from everyone else. And so the plug for me is, if there's been a life change like a kid and they're extremely happy with their vehicle, that is a much more powerful lead for your sales organization than just your traditional, let's get into, did they service with me? You know, what's their loyalty and retention score from whatever social ranking or whatever system ranking you have? So, you know, add to that with human elements that help your salespeople build that relationship. That's my add to it. It shouldn't be on its own. It should be holistic. You can conquest too, but.
Well, yeah. I think one of the biggest struggles is we seem to, as automotive dealers, the only time we want to reach out to somebody is to ask them for business. And that's a very thin relationship at best. And I think one of the things that's missing in our industry is a mid-cycle consultation call, where we actually reach out to our database on a cadence. So if it's a 4-year lease, we reach out to them in 2 years and say, just making sure, and I'm playing to your point here, to be honest with you, has anything changed? Has your kid taken up hockey and now she wants to be the goalie and there's 87 bags of equipment that have to go in your Honda Civic. Well, that's not going to work. Maybe we need to be talking about something else. So the customer then sees relevance to that conversation and they see relevance to the salesperson and they see relevance to the dealership because the dealership actually cared enough to pick up the phone and say, has anything in your life changed? How's your service experience with us? Oh, well, I moved across town. It's really a nuisance to drive there now. I used to live next door, but now I'm thinking of servicing at my local Toyota store now because it's better, or anything like that. Well, you can get ahead of that. And you can say, well, whoa, we have a service where we'll come pick up your car. Would that work for you? Oh, that'd be great. Yeah, you know, and all that stuff. But you're able to save these relationships and deepen the relationship because you actually care, not because you're trying to hit a number for March because your manufacturer gave you this number that you have to hit or else you're going to be in trouble. So it's a completely different relationship, but the end result is sales and profits and happy customers and deep databases, and connected databases, and all the stuff that, frankly, a lot of dealerships don't put enough emphasis on, to be honest.
I have to say something. It's very interesting. Scott brought it up first. You just mentioned it too. I've been in the business long enough that I remember way before digital leads. Yes, that's right, everybody, way before digital leads. And we did things the old way. And the card on the wiper, the mid-cycle follow-up, but I actually have to laugh because Gail popped up in my screen, is you do it the Patron way, which is, hello, you're 2 years in your lease, come to me, I'll get you out of your Civic, I'll pay off the rest of the car, I'll pay your negative equity, I'll send you to Hawaii, we're going to have our person here give you a foot rub while we're doing it, and we're going to put you into a brand new 2019 Mitsubishi Outlander.
Yeah, exactly like that on your Facebook feed.
Yeah, or of course, knowing Rudy, it's actually, we're going to put you into a lease on a Lamborghini Urus over 247 months. At only $2,000 a month, and don't worry, we'll get you out of it if you get into trouble.
France is there's no banking laws for term of loan.
I don't think there is here.
I would like to go do F&I in France, although my customers won't be in their car for life.
Well, it's very funny here. I think here you actually have to finance your fuel if you're buying a performance car because you're talking, it is two for premium unleaded is 225 euro per liter. So, which is nine US dollars per gallon. It's probably 10 US dollars per gallon. Not bad for your Audi RS6 that I see everywhere that gets 3 miles per gallon because you drive with your foot to the floor. Ian, take it from there, please.
Yeah. Can you give me an example of a creative way to get leads and how they should be handled by dealers? Let's start with Scott.
A creative way to generate leads, so incremental leads. I was raised on email, right? When email came out and got popular in the 1990s, hey, there's a better way than the phone. It's called email. Now email, the majority of our emails to consumers go to spam. I think the national stat is 22% of emails are read. So as email was to phone 25 years ago, text is to email today. Specifically, text is to email today.
Oh, back to the phone again.
I'm sorry?
Back to the phone again.
It's the back to the future strategy, right? I mean, technically it's the phone. So if 98% of texts are read and 22% of emails are read, why do sales reps feel so good all day, what I would call making email love? You know, Gail, you said you walk in, it's 12 o'clock. What have you done today? Gail, look at all these people that we've emailed. Look at the creativity on this email. There's a picture on this email. Nobody's going to read your email. So to answer your question directly, texting. 98% of texts are read. To Barry's point earlier, you've got this database that nobody's touching and they're asking their managers for incremental leads. You've got to mine your database, text them. Every CRM gives you the ability to text. Now it is mostly one by one in a CRM. So there are scalable solutions. There's lots of them out there where with a click of a button, you can get a message to 10,000 users in your DMS or your CRM. With a click of one button, 10,000 texts could go out at one point. Now, I would say stagger at 2,500 a week, so you do 10,000 a month. And that message could be whatever you want, 0.9% back for inventories back. Maybe it's fixed ops. It's a great time to service your car in 1999 oil change. And we all know that when that customer comes in, you're going to average about 450 in fixed ops profits just from windshield wipers to alignments, things like that. Or what's a really popular topic, to bring this up again, inventory. Instead of dealers complaining they have no inventory, let's focus on fixed ops and let's focus on used. That's what's kept the lights on all these years. And it's our most profitable channels in the dealership. So here's an example. Send a text. Hey, Mr. Consumer, your car in your garage has never been worth more money. Click on this link to get a quote on your car, what we could give you for your car and the comfort and convenience of your own home. And then just send them a link to your KBB or your trade-in configure on your website. And voila, you have incremental used car trade-in leads, which are huge right now.
Great answer. Sandor, I know we were talking a little bit about the changes in families when they have a new addition. Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have people showing up as they need the vehicle, as the baby's arriving? And actually, maybe you can have some thoughts on that.
This was sort of what drew me to make the connection in the first place is that, and again, I think it was Barry that had said earlier that it's a little bit of a focus on a specific tunnel for where those leads are coming from, because we've got this family database, but it was that these folks are telling us with permission, and it's a one-on-one relationship. They're telling us when the child's going to be due, and they're telling us where they live, because part of our membership is that they get access to certain things, and if they don't give their real address, then they don't get the stuff. An email and SMS. So I've got all this data on people about when a kid's going to be due, and or when the kid was born, and how many other kids they've got, and all these other things that are happening. I thought, a story that popped into my head because I've got three kids was, panic shopping in the third trimester for a minivan sucks. It just sucks. And mostly because I really didn't want to get a minivan, but now that I have one, I appreciate it for what it is. And if my wife heard me say that, she would come in here laughing and point at me because I was resisting it so much. It was like, do I want to wait until then, or even with the first kid, immediately had to replace the other car because I guess it was dangerous enough for my wife to drive in, but it wasn't safe enough for my kid to drive in. So we got a new car in advance of the first kid, which is, also weird. These things force changes. So I was like, okay, well, 60 something or 80 something percent of my members sign on in their first or second trimester. Do I want to wait to the end, or do I want to quietly reach out to them? And they're the ones that are initiating the contact. They're the ones that are actually saying, hey, I see that you have a partnership with an automotive company or a dealership or a group. Yeah, click. Can you please ask them to contact me and tell them when my kids or children were born or are going to be born? And if that dealer reaches out very quickly, again, whether there's another like Live or AutoResponse or whatever the heck, the dealer reaches out and says, hi, thanks for reaching out through my company. Let's set up an overnight test drive. Here's the vehicle. Have fun with it. Enjoy it at your leisure. By the way, we know that you live in the province of, let's say, Ontario. And in Ontario, this is your first child, you've indicated. We know you have to have an infant car seat when you leave the hospital. We will actually get that for you. And we're going to get it installed for free at the car seat testing facility that's closest to your place. And we'll cover the whole thing. Anyway, have a good test drive. Here's some features. Call us if you like. Enjoy competitive shopping. And when you're ready, give us a call and we'll be happy to take care of you. By the way, our discounts, our rebates, our offers, it's all stackable for whatever happens to you in the future. Have a good time. And it's just this softer sell that in the mind, I think, of the father or the mother who's going through the stress of whether they're nesting to deal with a renovation or all the other crap that happens in your life when you're prepping for a kid. This is one stress that they don't want. So have a nice time. They're going to call you back because you're the only one that wasn't in their face. You were that first mover advantage. You hit them early on. You congratulated them on their status. And God forbid something goes wrong with the pregnancy. At least you're not blasting them with stuff. At least you have a relationship with them and they could talk to you about it and you could offer your, if something goes wrong, which sometimes it does, at least you can have a human conversation, and they won't forget that either. But you can be good about it. And so that's what sort of stood out for me, is the thing that these alternative databases or alternate databases can do for you know, your existing service customers, any conquest customers, if they're one of the 6% that hate their current car, you know, then maybe you can convert them over. But if not, at least they're interested in triggering the conversation. And it's just, it's different than, look, I went to a website because I was interested in a flashlight, and every ad on my freaking browser is for that flashlight for the next 6 weeks. Like, I hate it.
Like on Facebook.
But you're, you know, you've got such a relevant comment there. And the one that really stood out, or the word that stood out to me, was the relationship. And whether you're building it around new families, changing families, whatever the case may be, honestly, your give a shit factor was high, and you formed a relationship with somebody, and now they'll pay you back with business. It is really so simple when you boil it down. You know, how we start those conversations and what the cadence is and stuff like that. We got experts like Gail that knows exactly what to do and can guide us through that. But first of all, you got to care. You got to be relevant. And you have to be on the same wavelength, right? So back to what you're talking about. Yeah, that's a timely. Lovely way. But again, so now take your timeline, but now it's going to go the other way. Now your kid is 14, getting a learner's, and now they're 15, and now you're having to go out and you need a good used vehicle. You're going to go where you trust it, right? If you buy privately, you're going to get it inspected at the place you trust. So there's a 20-year timeline there that you're opening up if you manage it properly.
Yeah. I do have to make a comment for everybody here that Sander has brought up, and actually, without even bringing it up, can you imagine the panic somebody goes through? They're in their third trimester, and then they're busy doing things. They're getting other things. They're getting things for the home, for the baby or whatever. And then comes the rush to the hospital. And I've seen this many a time. And the partner or the person having the baby is suddenly running in going, oh my God, I need a different vehicle. I need to get a vehicle. I need to get a vehicle. Oh, what do I do? Oh, there's financing. Oh, wait a minute. I haven't filed my this. I haven't done that. What am I going to do? And they're panicking. Somebody leaves out in advance, is smart, and uses Scott's comments, Gail's comments. And the dealer says, you know what? I don't have a brand new 2021 blah, blah, but I've got this really nice used minivan, SUV, whatever. Let's arrange this for you now because your timing is perfect. You don't have time to shop and get ripped off on a new one, if there is one. You get something you like, we'll set a timeline for 2 years, and we'll get you into something else. All of a sudden, that person loves you forever. Pardon me for interjecting.
Yeah, and especially these days when you have a lack of new inventory. I mean, the days of showing up and wanting, for example, a Toyota Sienna and getting it today may not be possible. So time is more and more important. I mean, what's your thought, Gail? I mean, we've had all the men's opinion. Maybe you have some thoughts. Oh, we can't hear you.
You are on mute, Gail.
You're on mute, Gail.
Gail, elle est mute.
Sorry, I had to plug in my laptop. It was about to die. I was saying my opinion about from a feminine perspective of like being a third trimester and needing a car. I mean, I can barely handle a car if I'm not pregnant. So I don't know how like people handle it when they are. Yeah. And I mean, I'm lucky, I'm obviously in the car business, but my friends would probably call me freaking out and be like, can you please help me? Like, I can't deal with these car dealers right now. So to have a service like that would be unbelievable for women. And yes, I'm sure their partners, spouses would absolutely love a service like that.
And can you imagine what they go through right now when they're in a panic? They pick up the phone, and the Dodge dealers are starting to experience what the Toyota dealers have done their whole lives: no discount. And they phone them up and they say, we need a new vehicle and I need it today because my Civic Si isn't cutting it. And they say, well, we have a green base Grand Caravan or whatever they call it now. And it is $49,000. You can have it for payments of only $1,000 a month. Would you like it or not? I don't like it. Okay, bye.
I would probably just have a meltdown and start crying, to be honest, if I was pregnant. Like, I'm not going to lie. I'd have a meltdown. And I would be like, honey, go deal with this.
Crying.
Well, and just on this topic, like to Gail's point, there are so many things that change when a child is arriving. You're renovating, you're painting something, you're buying furniture, you're about to lose an income. Like, I mean, like everything is snowballing into this effect, and now you're going to stack on a shitty experience buying a car on top of it. It just gets 10 times worse.
Yeah.
Although we do have to say, you know, a bunch of us have dealt with people on that third and fourth child and their van, and they go, look, I don't really care. If there's a car seat that fits in the back, fine. If it doesn't, I don't need another one anyway.
That's not the first one. That's the fourth one.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, we were talking about creative leads. Can you give me an example of a creative way to generate leads?
Yeah, actually, one of the programs that we have at Retail Resilient is how do you get creative leads through social media. So we go to dealerships, we make them whip out their phone on the lot in the showroom. We don't care. We make them do a TikTok video. And I mean, there's some cool personalities in the car business, like very authentic, fun personalities. And we make them create a TikTok video. And going back to what Scott said, you hit a button and boop, you just text all your friends and family. And a TikTok video could be about a new car offer or a used car offer or come to my service department. And you're dancing around in the back of like a truck that's in your showroom. So something as simple like that, where
you're assuming there's a truck in the showroom.
Okay, so there's no truck in the showroom.
The dance floor now.
Yeah. But very much using the platforms where people live all day long. They live on TikTok, they live on Facebook, they live on Instagram. So building the creative leads organically within those platforms. Because you can, like one dealer group we work with, they generate about an extra $100,000 to $200,000 in revenue off of organic posting like that a month, per month.
Yeah.
And it's really cool to see.
Jeff, questions?
Well, it's very interesting that we have all these interesting comments coming in. I got a quick quiz for everybody here. So we'll go one person at a time. And Scott, you've been sitting there like not saying anything for a while. We've ignored you. So quiz time. A dedicated response person or people or roundtable lead distribution. Which one?
Jeff, I was hoping the quiz was like my favorite quizzes in high school, multiple choice. So it's fill in the blank, huh? I think the sales rep needs to earn the right to work a lead. So I'm against round robin. Otherwise, you're wasting leads because there's always going to be people that are better than others. So dedicated is my answer.
Perfect. And of course, like my friends here, autoresponder or live responder?
You're still asking me?
Sorry? You.
Okay, yeah. So I'm doing all the questions. I hate all.
Everybody ignored you for about 5-10 minutes there. So we're gonna. This is pepper you time.
Live or AI is my answer to that question. I hate autoresponders. They serve no value. Hey, I received your lead. Yeah, great. No, the autoresponder is a crutch. That it's 2021. That dealers still think it's effective is crazy. Live response and or AI response, which is immediate. Obviously after hours as well.
Yeah, you know, it's very funny. The last time I worked as a sales manager, my partner and I would trade off every night. Whoever worked the night shift would answer any leads up till 11 a.m. and from about 7 a.m. in the morning would answer personally. And it seemed to work. Then, of course, we went to a rapid response, I think it was, and nobody answered any leads because they got the typical autoresponder. And will walk-ins return to dominance? Scott?
No. No, your walk-ins today, I hate that we call them walk-ins because everybody's an internet customer that comes in anyhow. We ignore that fact. Sometimes the sales rep, you know, just goes and puts walk-in because it's the first thing you drop out of the CRM. There's no such thing as a walk-in. There hasn't been a such thing as a walk-in over 10 years. Everyone is leaving some sort of footprint, whether it be on your social, whether it be on your website, whether it be on a third-party site. So walk-ins have been gone for a long, long time. And no, they're not. The internet's not a fad. It's not going away. They're all digital consumers set.
Okay, but what about Wavy Guy?
Wavy Guy doesn't work. Neither does the gorilla on the roof. It makes you feel good. Take that money, put it into a lead gen campaign on social. It'll go a lot further. Gail, thank you for the...
I needed to give you guys a visual of Wavy Guy.
There we go. You know, and it's your beagle, your basset hound's ears too. Any of our other three guests, would you like to chime in on these three questions?
Yeah,
I agree. I would have answered the same.
Wow.
Yeah.
Barry?
Yeah, you know what? I agree that walk-ins are not going to be returning to prominence because you already see how the dealerships treat them. And so we're good there. Absolutely personalized responses is what it needs to be, because some of the form letters that these dealerships are responding with are a joke. They're 12 paragraphs long, and they tell you about the owner's dog, and it's terrible. And then what was the other question, Jeff?
There was a dedicated response person or response people or a round table.
Yeah, definitely dedicated, because I've had better luck with people that are earning $15 an hour than somebody on commission trying to respond to these emails. And you know what, you hit month end and, oh, I've got 12 deliveries and sorry, I couldn't get to those and I couldn't do this and I couldn't do that. Meanwhile, you got this person who's, that's just their job, and they're just doing their job like they're supposed to do, and they're generating leads like there's no tomorrow. So,
and the funny part is, the person they reach is probably the only person that they've actually reached. That customer is sitting there going, wow, somebody got back to me live. So, Ian, I'll leave it to you. We're getting a little late here, so.
Want to thank everyone, first of all. Great topic. Lots of great insight. Lots of great ways to generate creative leads. I think you need to think not only how you can do it with new technology, but also think about how it was done with old technology. I think you really need to think outside the box. And old stuff doesn't necessarily not work. It amazes me as I talk to car dealers every day, how few of them are dealing with the elephant in the room, which is you need to get your salespeople buying used cars at scale. And if they have no new cars, they have no excuse. The only excuse they have is that you're not getting them to do that. And every customer matters. I mean, that's a thing that I don't think anyone's really focusing on. As you have new, more entrants into the market, be it electric or other, it's all about the customer. How do you create that unique experience? And leads are, there's no good or bad leads. It's all in how you handle it. And I think that that was very, very true today. Any thoughts from any from Jeff or from anybody else?
No, I'd agree with Ian in the sense that, you know what, you need someone like Gail and what Gail does. And sorry, guys, I don't know too much about your businesses. I apologize. But you need somebody out gathering, bringing in new leads. You need attention on your current database, managing them. You need three or four different prongs of approach to how you're going to grow your business. And it's not just phoning your lead gen company and saying, sell me some more, sell me some more, sell me some more. Because there are so many better opportunities out there to be more strategic. And I think we touched on a lot of them today. So thanks, guys.
Terrific. Anybody else?
Any thoughts, Gail? No thoughts?
No thoughts other than I thought this was a great show. Good topic. Good topic.
Thanks, Gail.
Yeah.
It's definitely a great topic. Sorry?
Sandor, any final thoughts?
No, I really appreciate it. I recognize that. So, you know, everybody else on the call is exclusively really in the automotive space. And while I came from there, and so I have this solid affinity to it, right now I'm playing through a bunch of different verticals. The only comment that I have to tie, you know, Scott and Barry and Gail together is, in the last comment, Scott said, you have to earn the right to handle a lead, which I agree with beyond belief. And then Barry talked about the idea of, you know, it's their job. This is all that they do. And so that occurred to me. This is the idea of like, it's training. You know, Gail's got a social selling, you know, division that teaches how to sell socially. And so if it's there, you have to earn the right and it's their job. And Gail is talking about that. Bring it down to give your staff the skills that they need and design the job so that they can take the info that they get, whatever lead they get, and use it to the best of their abilities. It's a totally different skill set, handling a lead versus closing the sale. They're two completely different skills or two completely different jobs. And if you're a dealer or if you're a service manager or a sales manager and you rely on sort of the shotgun approach to handling it, you're really missing out. And that's my last comment.
The other thing to add to that, just really quickly, and I know you guys are close to timing, but is if you're going to do that, you absolutely have to supply your team with training and technology to get them where they need to be. You can't just walk down to the showroom floor and say, you guys start selling on Facebook. I'm going back to my office. You got to get somebody in there that actually helps them, shows them, teaches them, coaches them. Someone like, you know, if you're doing social, bring someone like Gail in. But if you're trying to manage your database, bring someone like us in with some technology and actually teach your team what to do. Because you can't just say, you guys got to go do this. I need more sales and leave. That doesn't work.
Scott, any final thoughts?
I do have a closing thought. So somebody watching this webinar says, okay, how am I succeeding? What metric am I going to use to see if I'm succeeding, doing everything Gail said, doing everything Sandra said? And most dealers would say close rate. And close rate's all wrong. So my closing thought is don't measure everything we talked about over the last hour by close rate. Measure it by cost per sale. Because you could have some third-party site that you pay $10,000 a month to generate 100 leads. You could close at a whopping 20%, feel great about yourself. The math on that is 10 grand, 20%, that's a $500 cost per unit sold, right? Or you could do something like Gail had mentioned that I'm a huge fan of, generate first party leads very inexpensively from social. Let's assume you spend $1,000 to generate those same 1,000 leads. You close at a lousy 10% or 5%, your cost per sale is less than half of what it is with that third party provider. So said short, don't use close rate as a KPI, as a key performance indicator. Take the math one step further and figure out your cost per sale on all of your lead gen campaigns.
Yep. That wraps up the whole thing, actually. Thanks, yeah. Scott. That wraps it up. That is the, yeah, that's the wrapper up tool.
Gail and I are aligned this morning.
Have a great week. Thanks very much.
Thank you. By the way, before anybody goes, I just wanted to tell you about the new our new venture from the Auto Hub show, which is the Obstetrician Automotive Network. And we're connecting obstetricians with car dealers.
Yes.
And they're going to let us know when their patients are at near the end of second trimester, and we're going to pay them money for it. Just kidding.
That's anyway, an amazing service.
I believe it would be great.
I thought that was
And quickly, I just wanted to thank everybody for being here. And one thing we're proud of here at the show is we make a lot of connections and a lot of people who've never met each other. You know, Barry and Gail are working together. I know you met in another life, but that's great. Scott, people, you know, we're having people connect. I do have to mention Jay from over in the UK. We really appreciate you joining us. And hopefully we could provide some information and connections and some business for everybody going around, which is what it's all about. And with that, I'll say au revoir.
Au revoir. Bye. Bonjour.
Bonne chance.
Cheers, everybody.
Take care.